Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, the podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the diocese. I'm Father Mike Harchi, and I'm here again with Father Dave Sizemore. Father Dave, thanks for being with me.
It's good to be here again.
Can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. And when we are timid, make us courageous. With our eyes, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We need to get that printed on a bigger card.
I said, with our eyes, may we hear. I don't think you hear with an eye, can you?
It'd be a miracle. But the eye's still important.
The eye's not the ear, but it's still an important part
of the body, like St. Paul says. In these podcasts, I'll take this step further back. Throughout Real Presence, Real Future, most of the public stuff has been a lot of the structural changes that we're talking about. So we're releasing all these draft models and things. And almost from the very beginning, when people saw that in the parish consultation sessions, they were like, well, you know, I thought this was about prayer and evangelization, and now you're telling me this is about, you know, structures and parish mergers and groupings and all that. But all the while, it's always been about everything, all of that, prayer, evangelization, parish structures, you know, priest personnel, people in the pews.
Of course.
And it just, you know, you only have so much bandwidth, so much time to talk about, you know, various topics. But I did want to mention all the evangelization stuff and making our parishes vibrant and supporting pastors. That's all been going on.
Yeah.
Kind of more in the background, but we do get opportunities like this to talk about it a little bit. You recently were at a conference, a Divine Renovation conference, and I know a lot of pastors came with you. So what was that experience like? Who are those pastors that why did those pastors choose to go to that with you? And tell us a little bit about that.
So Divine Renovation, it was down in Texas. It's Divine Renovation USA. It was established by Father James Mallon up in Nova Scotia, Halifax, and it was all for revival of our parishes and our schools and our institutions, you know, to re-evangelize them and then teach them how to be evangelizers, to create cultures of discipleship and then teach them how to become disciple makers. So that's really kind of their niche. And as I said, it grew up in Canada and now it's made its way down the United States. And so me and eight other pastors from our diocese, you know, like Father Tom Gardner and Father T.J. Lehigh and Father Leo Conley and Father Ted Sill and just a group like that.
So that's good. So those are guys who are pastoring small and numerous parishes large parishes.
Two small parishes.
That's good to know.
Yep. Right. And also pastors that were there that were pastoring two or three parishes at the same time. So we all went down and series of presentations, large group, and also then breakout sessions where we get to go a little bit deeper. And as I said, it was an opportunity for us to learn not just about evangelization, but this whole concept that is growing and we're seeing more and more of it in parishes, and that is to get the laity more involved and in critical roles in parish life and in also in school life, and that's the creation of what they call SLTs, senior leadership teams. And like in my case, I can just give that an example because we did this in 2018, so we were able, and since that time, to put together an SLT. And there's nine of us in this. It could be four or five, though, and it could be staff. It could be full-time, part-time staff. It could be missionary staff. It could be key volunteers. It could be paid, unpaid positions, but just, you know, people who have a heart for Christ and heart for his church and heart for people. And what they do is they come alongside of a priest and in every way help that priest run the parish, or also come alongside of a principal and help that principal and his or her vice principal run that school. In my case, we have an SLT for the parish and an SLT for the school, and the two also blend together through our principal and vice principal, meaning they go to both. And it's just been, it's been a game changer for me, and I know it's been a game changer for many of the priests that were at the conference that have, you know, gave their testimonies. And then I know too, some of the, like the younger priests I was talking to afterwards that are from our diocese. And I said, well, what do you think about this? And they're like, this gives us a whole new model of running the parish.
So tell me a little bit, you said it's a game changer for you. I know, and you have had a couple parishes where you've established like a significant team like this around you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, had you gone to Divine Renovation before that, or is this?
We did we did something like that through Amazing Parish Conference, and they call it Parish Leadership Teams, PLT. Okay. Different but similar.
Okay, mm-hmm. and that's good to know that there's kind of, you know, more than one way out there to do this. So just if you can describe a little bit how was that a game changer for you?
Oh my gosh, because first of all, we as priests who are so busy, right, and everybody knows that, we're not busy alone when you're with an SLT. When you're with a leadership team. And we make all of our decisions together as a team rather than the priests having to make all these decisions separate, you know. And we meet on a regular basis weekly, you know, formally, and then multiple times throughout the week as we're just running things by one another. And it's a slice of the administrative side of the parish, and the other slice is the ministerial side. So some of the staff are primarily administrators, and the others are primarily lay ministers, you know, like an evangelization director or whatever. And we come together, and when we come together, we're in one another's business. Right, and we're all making decisions about the whole parish and school, rather than just that business administrator talking to me separate from the rest of the parish, or the pastoral minister or the evangelization director talking with me separate from the rest. No, we do it all together. And so when I walk out of these meetings, I don't feel burdened with the mission. I feel enlivened.
What, having to communicate something to all your staff?
Yeah, I feel enlivened because we do it together. And then the nine of us, we go off them, and they then reach out to everybody else that is in leadership positions, but both those that are other staff positions like paid, or major volunteers that are ahead of, like, you know, your women's groups, your men's groups, your Bible studies and all. They all have people that they support that are in leadership position. And so it really is an incredible support for the pastor and his team. And the parish doesn't get stopped by the energy of the priest, the preferences of the priest, the bandwidth, the ideas, the ingenuity, the creativity, the time of the priest. It doesn't get bottleneck, right? Rather, what it does is it opens up the bottle.
That sounds pretty exciting, honestly. And now maybe at least a question in my mind, maybe some of the faithful out there are thinking this, okay, so if I hear that my pastor now has this senior leadership team around him, and I'm, you know, John or Susie, average parishioner, am I going to have more access or less access to my priest? Am I going to see him more often? Mm-hmm. Is he going to have more availability? Is there more people that I have to go through that I can never, you know, see my pastor? What's their experience going to be like?
I can speak to the model in general, you know, that Divine Renovation is talking about. But I could say specifically too, anecdotally, more access to the priest, because the reason why is that he's now free from so much administration, so he's more available to the people.
Okay.
Or even running the ministerial stuff, he's no longer the one running that program or giving that talk or doing that retreat, because we do it together, we plan together and so on. And he comes alongside of them and they alongside of him. And so he's much more available to be with the people, for pastoral counseling, for ministry, for going out to dinner at their home, you know, things like that, which gives him life and creates these relationships and makes them healthier. The other thing that is important to hear about Divine Renovation and movements like that is they're really very much into, and they've got a great model for, meaning a great training and formation for, teaching a priest and his team how to re-evangelize a parish, like how to reinvigorate it, like how to set it on a course where they together vision cast for the parish, like where they really want to go as a parish. And so you do a lot of listening to all of your parishioners, and then you build a mission based upon that. And then you evaluate and funnel everything through that mission. And then after you help to shape and form hundreds of your parishioners as disciples, then they start to grow as disciple makers because they have a deeper love for Christ in their heart and a desire to want to share what they themselves are experiencing with other people. And then your parish not only comes online or comes more online or more on fire, but it becomes a place of encounter, of community, and evangelization. And then your parish grows not only in fervor, but it grows in the number of people sitting in the pews.
All that fervor and number.
So this is what's coming to Real Presence, Real Future. This is what is available to our pastors and to their teams. This is part of what we call a tool in the toolkit that is being offered through our Office of Evangelization of our diocese.
That's exciting, and I love the excitement in your voice. I'm not surprised by it, but this is really in your bailiwick. And as you were talking, I had that image of when Moses was giving his spirit to the other 72 elders, mm-hmm. right? And then a couple in the camp who weren't there, but they were prophesying, and he said, you know, would that everyone were prophets, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what, as priests, we feel like, would not everyone kind of accept their baptismal call, right, to be priest, prophet, and king, and really enliven the parish? Lastly, I did want to know, with a couple of seconds we have left, at least want to mention that, you know, the Catholic Foundation did support that. So we're very grateful to the Catholic Foundation for granting that, supporting the parishes.
You know, a group of laity within Catholic Foundation sit on the board of trustees, the staff, and so on. And they're the ones who paid for the priest and their teams to go there, hotel, fees, flights, everything.
So we hope this will bear fruit, and I know it will. Thanks for leading the charge on that with the evangelization office.
I'm just accompanying our priest,
You're awesome. Thanks, Father Dave. Always appreciate the conversations, and we look forward to the future of Real Presence, Real Future, and especially the evangelization work. Yeah. Thanks.